Chapter 7. Within an instant, all of the forest elves in front of me faded from view, and the lead woman turned on her heels. Her hips rolled as she headed toward the tents in the distance. She'd given them her orders, and now she wouldn't speak another word. I assumed she was their chief, leader, or maybe even queen, but I couldn't be sure. "Please," I shouted. "We don't want to hurt you. We stumbled upon your forest by accident. We don't want to fight you." The woodland elf paused for a minute, half turned her body toward us, and aimed her golden eyes at us. Her expression was firm, and it was clear she wouldn't change her mind no matter what we said or did.
"You're merely loyal hounds," the elven woman spat. "Sent by the Mother Jackal. Do you think we're stupid? We've dealt with you before. I suggest you leave. Scurry out of the forest before my daughters slaughter you and bring me your still-beating hearts."
The stunning ethereal woman swayed away, stopped at the entrance of a tent, and then sat down on a wooden stool that looked to be crafted from the stump of a palm tree. She wasn't going to slink away to the confines of her tent and wait for her women to kill us. She was going to sit here and watch as her daughters slaughtered us. If she wanted a show, then Askara and I would give it to her. I shifted my gaze down at Askara. And though I saw fear deep in the brown hues of his irises, he knew what we had to do. The guard lifted his right hand, and I helped him to his feet, but right as he gained his balance, something slammed into the middle of my back. I was thrown forward, and instinctively I smashed my right boot down into the hard, packed dirt to keep upright. I wasn't sure what they'd thrown at me, but I soon figured out as the sound of someone rolling past me on the ground reached my ears. They were invisible, and they were attacking from the tree line. I slowly raised my eyes toward the lead woodland elf, and a sly smirk crossed her beautiful features. This was what she wanted. When she'd spoken to us, it was merely a distraction while her minions slunk off to the forest around us. "This way!" I barked to Askara, grabbed him by the shirt, and dragged him to the middle of the clearing. "Keep alert. They're invisible, but you'll be able to see their tracks through the dirt. But we don't know what other weapons they have."
"This isn't like any other battle I've fought before," Askara laughed shakily. "But I'll try to keep you safe, my lord."
"Same for you," I nodded, wrapped both of my hands around the staff's length, and then listened to anything in the distance. Damn, they're near silent in there. "Askara, call out to me if you hear any—" I barely had time to react, as a strange whistling sound filled my ears, and I dropped to the dirt. Shortly after, there was a loud thunk, and I lifted my head to see a makeshift dart buried in the wood of a palm. I guessed on the tip of that dart was some kind of poison that would either kill me or knock me unconscious.
And watch out for those, too," I ordered, and the guard quickly glanced over toward the tree, then nodded.
"Aye, aye, my lord," Askara barked.
The guard and I pressed our backs together and then walked in a slow circle as we kept our eyes on the thick woods that surrounded us. There were about 15 elves we'd seen, but there could be more we hadn't, and there was no way to tell where they were. All we had to do now was wait for them to attack. I held the staff tightly between both hands, and as I concentrated hard on any attack I could muster up, the staff's core began to glow with royal blue light. As we moved slowly, the light brightened and flashed as if it were warning me of something. Suddenly it hit me. Valerie had a power similar to this, and there were a few ways to tell where she was, even if she were entirely invisible. I slammed my gaze down to the dirt in front of me and spied the few puffs of dust as something raced toward us. Her breathing was silent, even all of her movements, but she couldn't prevent the telltale signs of her approach from happening. In one swift motion, I stepped out, held the staff at my waist, and then swept it up in a long, graceful arch. A choked-off scream echoed through the forest, and instantly the elven woman phased back into view as she hung mid-air. The staff held her there as she struggled, and the elven woman screamed at me in her native tongue. Her long, delicate fingers ripped through the air as she attempted to slash at me angrily, but I was too far away for her to reach me. Instantly, I closed my eyes, breathed out, and concentrated on the power within the staff. The weapon's power swept over me in an enormous wave, and through the skin of my eyelids, I saw the core flash once and then glow scarlet as it stole the elven woman's powers. With a flick of my wrists, the staff flipped in between my hands, and I lifted it over my head as I tossed the elven woman away.
She landed with a loud thump and a defeated wheeze before rolling over onto her stomach and crawling away toward her mother. Right as she reached her, the elven woman lifted one of her shaky hands to attack me, but her green eyes widened as her ability failed to respond.
Valuha!
She screamed to her sisters still hidden amongst the trees.
Valuha Mateki! Valuha Mateki!
I didn't know what they were saying, but the fear trembled in her voice for a long moment. The lead elven woman glanced down at her ward, pressed her lips together in a firm line, and then rested a gentle hand on the woman's shoulder. Why wasn't she fighting me? It was clear she was their leader, and usually the leader was the strongest of them all. But why wasn't she attacking? Was this some sort of trial to prove her women's trust? Kill the invaders and confirm to me that you belong in the tribe? Or were they trying to tire the two of us out and then fall back as their queen took over? It was clear they intended to kill us. But what had she meant when she said we spoke the devil's language? What was that thing about the hounds and the mother jackal? What could she mean by that? Was it some sort of code or something simpler? They know I stole that one's powers, I whispered over my shoulder. I doubt any more will be coming straight at us again. So keep an ear out for any more of those darts. I don't want one to hit either of us. Either it'll knock us out or worse, kill us. Do you have any experience fighting like this? No, my lord. Askara hissed through his teeth, glanced around, and ducked as the strange whizzing sound came again. I quickly dropped down too as the dart blasted past and hit a different tree. There were too many for the two of us. Not only that, but I don't want to kill any of them. From the wooden structures built behind the tents and tools sitting outside their homes, it looked as if they'd been here for a long time, maybe even centuries. They weren't a primitive tribe, but they certainly weren't as advanced as the cities we'd been to. We'd already learned they had interaction with the outside world, but from the sound of it, it had been hostile and aggressive. I guessed it was probably with the aristocrats, maybe the marchioness of the nearest town. There's far too many of them for us to take on by ourselves, I uttered, and Askara's eyes hardened. You're not going to give up, are you, my lord? My guard asked in a low growl. Give up, I barked through a laugh, adjusted the staff in my hands, and grinned down at my soldier as I stood to my full height. No, my friend. There may be more of them than us, and they may have a different fighting style, but I have an advantage they would have never seen coming. And what is that? Askara asked, rolled backward as an invisible elf launched herself at him, and then rolled off back into the bushes. Your staff or something else? I didn't answer, only stepped away from him and held the weapon out in front of me. The forest around me fell eerily silent, as if all of the invisible elves hiding inside paused to watch. I wasn't sure exactly what I was doing, but the feeling building inside my chest told me that the staff would guide me. It had done it so many times before, and if I just gave in and trusted it, we would win this. The scarlet light flashing through the core stopped and then intensified to a deep wine red. Slowly, I raised the staff over my head and held the core closer to the sky above. The weapon's immense power washed over me, and I breathed it in like an intoxicating scent. My eyes slowly fluttered closed, and in one movement, I brought the staff down, flipped in my hands, and smashed the core into the dark earth. I didn't hear anything except for Askara's shocked yelp and the sound of him tumbling to the ground. But when my eyes opened, I watched as a shockwave raced across the ground toward the forest. Instantly, the plants and weeds shook as if something tore through them at a quick pace, but that wasn't it. Just like Valerie, when she phased from view, the outlines of the elven women shimmered for a second as they were lifted from the ground and suspended midair. Their terrified screams only urged me on even more, and I slashed the weapon down toward the dirt again. I kept my eye glued toward the edge of the forest as more and more elven women came into view. The core flamed red, blue, purple, and gold in quick succession, and when I glanced down at its smooth surface, I saw different images move inside the swirling object. As the core stole their abilities, they dropped down into the dirt and stared at me with wide, terrified eyes. I had them in the palm of my hands, and there was nothing they could do about it. Sure, they probably could fight me off with pure strength alone, but like a lot of the aristocrats, these elven women relied heavily on their abilities and couldn't function without them. Of course, after we'd talked this through with the lead elf, I'd give them their powers back, but I wanted to show her what I could do. I moved to turn, but I couldn't, and immediately slammed my eyes down to my feet. I was held in place by thick, almost black roots, and as I struggled against them, they tightened with the sound of taut rope being pulled. I instantly lifted my head and watched as the lead elven woman stood. The stunning woman brushed off her shapely bare thighs, strode forward with an angry smirk, and then brought her hands together in a condescending slow clap.
"So,"
the elven woman growled,
"you're a formidable adversary. You managed to defeat my daughters. So what do you want from us? More blood? Has the jackal ordered you to take more, or do you want more of our family? If you do, you have to get through me first. And let me tell you, the mother is much stronger than the children."
"I don't know what you're talking about," I shouted, pulled against my left leg, and finally gave up. "Yeah. I don't know who this jackal is. I certainly don't want your blood or to kidnap you. If you'd let me explain minutes ago, I would have told you. My name is Charles Rayburn. I've formed an army, and we're on a mission to kill the queen and take back our country."
"I do have to admit,"
the beautiful creature uttered in her low, melodic voice,
"you don't look like any of the hounds we've seen before. But this could be a new tactic from the jackal. Maybe she's learned from past experience."
"I don't know who that is," I urged. "Please let me go and I can explain."
"You can explain from where you're standing,"
the green-skinned woman shouted, and the roots around my legs tightened painfully.
"If you are this Charles Rayburn and not a feral hound, why are you here? Why have you invaded our land?"
"I didn't invade anything," I assured her. "My guard and I came to investigate the forest. My women and soldiers are waiting just outside of the trees. We were looking for wild animals, maybe a rabbit to cook for dinner. We had no bad intentions, and we certainly didn't expect you to be here."
"What have you done to my daughters?"
the elven woman asked with a tilt of her head, and the rage never left her sparkling eyes.
"Their birth-given abilities aren't working. What have you done to them? Some type of witchcraft given to you by the jackal?"
"No." I shook my head and showed her my staff. "I've merely taken them away for a moment. I knew once their abilities were taken, they'd stop attacking and we'd have a moment so I could explain why we're here in the first place. I can give them back, but only if you promise to let me go."
"Give them back to my daughter, Ania,"
the leader demanded, and gestured to the woman lying by the largest tent.
"She won't attack you, but prove to me you will do it and I will let you go."
"Can you," Ascara whispered, "can you even give them back their powers?"
"Yes," I nodded. "I haven't had to do it before, but I'm sure I can." I settled my gaze upon the elven woman named Ania, and when her emerald gaze met mine, her lips pulled, and she hissed at me as if she were a feral cat. I breathed in deeply, closed my eyes, and then lifted the staff higher into the air. The staff's power flexed all around me, and suddenly I felt something break away from it. When I opened my eyes, Ania sat back on her haunches, stared down at her spindly fingers, and then flexed them out in front of her body. Slowly, through the dirt, a small plant began to grow and bloom. Suddenly, Ania turned toward us and jabbed out her right hand, but a booming voice interrupted her before she could attack.
"Stop!"
the lead elf ordered.
"So you've done as you promised. Thank you. Now return them to my other daughters, and then leave. Never come back, or we will not hesitate to kill you. At least I won't."
The roots holding me in place retracted with a hissing snap and buried themselves underneath the dirt. I stared at the ground for a very long time and then lifted my gaze toward the elven woman a second time. Her green eyebrows furrowed and her lips pulled down into an enraged grimace.
"I told you to return their powers,"
she snarled, stepped forward, and brought her right hand up in front of her.
"And leave. Now, do so before I change my mind and kill you."
"The jackal," I uttered, and her eyes widened instantly. "Is it the queen, by chance?"
"I am the only queen that matters,"
the elven beauty hissed.
"This other woman you speak of, she is a heretic. Nothing more than a cutting of the true mother plant. Me."
"What? What do you mean?"
"I don't think you've realized this, human Rayburn,"
the woman barked, sauntered closer, and curled a finger under my chin.
"But your entire society is a lie. I hate to shatter your reality, but the jackal has fabricated the world you live in, and it's all because of me. I was born, my roots spread and grew exponentially, and where I was born, leaves and plants sprouted up all around me. We lived in peace for hundreds of years, until one day, a child appeared here.
A child? What do you mean?
A hound pup,
the elven woman snarled.
She and the one who gave birth to her infiltrated our land, stole some of our women, and held us down as they extracted our lifeblood. Then, every 10 years, they came back to take more from us. But each time they were different, stronger than they were before.
I had an idea of what she meant, but I wanted her to say it aloud and confirm it. Her golden eyes stayed heavily on mine, and they told me more than words ever could, but I still wanted to hear it from her lips. What do you mean? I urged in a dark tone.
That child didn't have abilities the first time she stepped foot into my sanctuary.
The elven queen shook her head.
But when she came back, she certainly did. I don't know what happened to her, but she became one of us. But she wasn't born of the tribe. None of these human-born women are of the tribe, and yet they come into this world receiving what my kind have died for.
So, I uttered slowly and solemnly, someone came into this forest, stole some of your women away, and then came back with abilities?
Seemingly overnight.
The elf shrugged with a bark of laughter.
I wonder what they were doing and how they achieved it. Maybe you can answer that, human Charles.
Sounds like they were experimenting with the magic in your women's blood, I explained. It seems like they were able to isolate the property that produces your abilities and powers, then transferred it to living beings.
I don't understand a word you just said.
The elven woman snapped, and then sighed.
It seems I will never have answers, and no one will pay for what they've done to my tribe.
They can pay, I urged, formed my hands into tight fists, and stepped forward toward her. We can make them pay. As I said before, we're on the warpath to kill the queen and make the world right. We can do that together. We can avenge those you've lost. All I need is for you to submit to me, allow me to lead you, and we can take them down together.
Submit to you?
The green-skinned woman snapped, raised an eyebrow, and then curled her lips in disgust.
I am the elven queen. I am the mother of all living things in this forest. Submit to you? A puny human with a stick and pretty jewel? I'd rather my roots burst through the dirt and choke the life out of me than bow down to you.
Then I can't help you, I said. You'll continue to be plagued by the jackal and her hounds, whoever she is. Queen or not, I can offer you my protection, but only if you give me your power and title.
Then take it from me. Unless you're a coward.
The green-haired woman stopped a few feet away from me and grinned down at me as roots exploded out of her skin. The ropey, muscle-like feeler slammed down to the ground, then lifted her into the air above me. Dirt flew through the air and settled at my feet as I leaned my head back and stared up at her. The roots growing out of her arms and back stretched out almost like wings, and I couldn't help but study her face for a long moment. She was terrifying and utterly beautiful at the same time. I had no idea how I was going to manage to beat her, but I had to. If I wanted to help her, I had to take her down and make her be mine. She wasn't like any other battle I'd been in before, and I wasn't sure how I was going to fare, but I knew one thing for sure. If I didn't win, I would surely die at the Elven Queen's hands. Despite my fear, I couldn't allow that to happen. I'd already told myself I had to stop depending on my monster women at every turn. I'd managed to kill a few beasts on my own, but this wasn't comparable to those situations. This was a living, breathing being with conscious thought. But not only that, it seemed the Elven Queen had information I wanted to know. Who was this jackal she'd spoken of? Was it the Queen or was it someone else entirely? What did she mean when she said the child came into the forest without an ability and then returned with one? Did this mean that the aristocrat's abilities weren't organic? And that they'd been manufactured hundreds of years ago from this tribe's blood and genetics? My lord, Askara whispered, are you sure we should do this? Maybe we should just give them back their powers and head back to the caravan? I can fend them off while you run, my lord. My life is expendable, yours is not. Are you suggesting we walk away from a fight? I asked in a low grumble. I may be your leader, Askara, but I'm a doctor and a scientist first. She has information we need. Not only that, but I won't turn my back on people who need protection from the queen and her guard, even if I have to fight them first. I'm not backing down from this, and I beg you, Stop asking to run and face the threats in front of you.
Are you done speaking?
The Elven Queen spat.
I would like to get this over with before the sun set. The Jackal might be on her way here right now, and our tribe must prepare. Come, human Charles. Decide if you will fight or run for your life.
I will fight you. I lifted my head, squared my shoulders, and tightened my grip on my staff as I prepared for the battle ahead. I couldn't back down from this, and it seemed she couldn't either. If she didn't believe I would protect her and her tribe, I would make her believe.
Now, it looks like you're ready. But I will warn you,
the Elven Queen growled.
No one except the Jackal has survived a battle with me, human Charles.